By the Pied Horse, High Holborn, London. The four of them had hauled their captain into the gloomy capital on a makeshift litter of broken pike shafts, lashed together with lengths of worn leather belt. The hastily improvised stretcher had broken down several times, depositing the unfortunate invalid into the potholed road on more than one occasion. William Sparrow was oblivious to the upsets. He had missed the greater part of the 130-mile march, lost in a sweat-soaked nightmare of feverish imaginings. He had stumbled out of Bristol with the rest of the Lost City's beaten garrison, but succumbed to the suppurating wound in his forearm as the dwindling column had approached Marlborough. His comrades carried him the rest of the way, suspended between them as he trembled and barked in his drooling delirium. Billy Butcher reacted to the captain's pitiful groaning with weary complaints of his own, eyeing the refuse-cluttered ditches along their way as if he was prospecting for a likely grave pit.
"He's cracked up as an old horse,"
the Peckham Dyer's apprentice complained to his equally exhausted sergeant.
"Can't see why we're bothering."
Colston Muffet, the grey-headed veteran, eyed him, lip curling contemptuously from his streaked teeth.
"We'll carry him back, dead or alive, come to that,"
he rasped, hauling his corner of the stretcher higher and tilting the groaning passenger against his heavily bandaged right arm. Sparrow rolled his head, his mouth gasping the chill air.
"I'll not leave him, not after the purse,"
Muffet vowed.
"Me neither, not after the purse,"
Caleb Cruikshank repeated dumbly. Butcher rolled his eyes as a slow-witted youngster struggling along behind him added his two pennyworth.
"Curse that captain to the deepest pits of purgatory,"
Hereward Gillingfeather added from the far side of the stretcher.
"Throwing us overboard like so many sprats, meaning no offence to you, boy,"
he told Caleb gruffly, his blue eyes burning bright. They tramped along in silence for a while, lost in their own gloomy reflections. A few short weeks before, and already their dreadful experiences seemed like somebody else's memories. Sparrow had been caught with the Londoners on Ranway Down, rounded up like so many sheeps as Sir William Waller's carefully cherished army fell apart like a paper tiger, swallowed up whole by the gleeful Royalist cavalry. They expected to be marched east to the Royalist jails in Oxford, but had been among 106 able-bodied men picked out for a longer, even more desperate march, south to the Royalist-held Dorset coast. Unknown to them, they had been selected by an ambitious and greedy Royalist.